Day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
The start of the school year is just, almost a week away now as we look at Labor Day this weekend. And we're back to talk on our morning show this week about school starting at area schools, including the Ithaca School District. And joining us in the studio today, Annette Lewis, along with Julie Severance. We'll talk about food service at Ithaca. And also joining us will be Greg Herbst, who is the superintendent at Ithaca, and Kathleen Shane, elementary principal and curriculum director on our morning show today. Well, we'll start with Annette. And she is the most veteran of this morning show. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Phil.
Summer really flies when you get that dairy breakfast done, isn't it?
That's right. It flew away, and that's great. And now we're looking at starting of school again.
So I understand, I heard the rumor that you might be retiring from food service.
I retired as of July 1st at being the food director. But Julie, I really and thrilled that she took it over. Julie had been our AmeriCorps representative for 2 years at Ithaca Schools. It did an excellent job with introducing different foods in the with AmeriCorps, and she knows the kids, she knows the school district, and I felt very good handing the reins over to her.
Do you have an official passing of the torch or passing of the spatula?
We really didn't, but we could have. I didn't think of that, Phil. That'd be a good one.
That would be awesome. So during your time as food service director, you've seen a lot of changes, haven't you?
Yes, we did a lot of different changes in that time period. When I was first hired, Risen Center was, we outsource our meals to Risen Center. After a 6-year period of that, then we brought the meals back to Ithaca Schools, and I was hired as the food director at that time. And one of the big things that we have done is a salad bar. And we've posted pictures of the salad bar on our Facebook page for Ithaca Schools. We were able to get a lot of fresh vegetables through the hub, and a lot of different ways for putting new vegetables out there for kids to sample and figure out whether they like it or not. I was always told when I was doing daycare, a kid needed to sample something 15 times before they told us they didn't like it. So I use that quite a bit when the kids first were trying different vegetables and things out of the salad bar. But the salad bar has been a great, great big hit. And it's a one way of getting some fresh, good vegetables in our students.
That's awesome. If they go home and they request their parents make that vegetable, then you know you've won, right?
That's right. Or you can tell by the consumption. One of the big things for the vegetables in the salad bar that they liked was peppers. And the peppers, it was no matter what age bracket a kid, they would start taking those fresh peppers. And they liked the colored ones just as well as the green ones.
Did you bring in some produce from, did the school grow some produce from time to time?
We did not. That's something that we wish to do eventually. But no, we were fortunate. There was grant money. And the hub got the grant money, so a lot of those vegetables we would order through the hub, and they were paid for by the grant. So that was, you know, we had shredded beets, we had a lot of different carrots and sweet potatoes that were raw, that were diced, and we would roast them. And just different types of vegetables, and different ways of preparing them, whether they were fresh, whether you cooked them or roast them. And kids don't get that. You know, a lot of kids, what happens is in the lives with our kids nowadays is they're going from bing, bing, bing after school. So they aren't sitting down as a family to a family meal. So the lunch at school is their family time to sit. and eat and try things. So that's why we really have pushed lunch at school more.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think sometimes it's kind of expensive to buy all those things to have a good meal at home, isn't it?
Well, that and parents don't have the time to prepare them even. That's some of it. You know, you get a fresh vegetable, you got to clean it, you got to cut it. So quite often they don't even have time to do that. I do know, though, a couple families that are really good. They'll buy their vegetables or fruits on the weekend, prep them, and have them all ready throughout the whole week. And that works good, too.
Ordering must be kind of a tough job, isn't it?
Ordering can be because you aren't quite sure the consumption or what they're going to like, but eventually you tune into it and you understand what they're going to eat after a while. For instance, lettuce tends to be, you can get many kinds of lettuce, leaf lettuce, kale, spinach, things like that, instead of just iceberg lettuce. So then you learn what they will eat and like after they've tried it.
Let's bring Julie into the conversation, the new food service director, Julie Severance. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
First time on the morning show, I know.
Yes.
So, and Annette said you'd been with Ithaca Schools a couple of years, but tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So I moved back to the area 2 years ago. I grew up outside of Sauk City, and I went to Tower Rock Elementary School, which is a teeny tiny rural school. So when I moved back here, I started with AmeriCorps, which is a service industry that puts people in places where they can be of service. And so Ithaca had applied for a grant, and my title was the Farm to School Specialist. And so for the last 2 years, I've gone into the mainly the elementary classrooms at Ithaca and taught nutrition. And all about where our food comes from. And we talk a lot about farming. And I actually worked with your son, James, in summer school 2 years ago. His students built some garden containers, and then my students planted some vegetables. So I think we got maybe, I don't know, 20 tomatoes. But it was a good exercise.
Sure.
Again, for kids to do that planting. They really got a kick out of it. This past summer, we planted a butterfly and pollinator garden at Ithaca. And we had a lot of fun doing that. We had to pull a lot of weeds before we could plant, but that was a lot of fun. So my background is in food. I've worked in food in various forms for 30 years, and I'm just really, really excited to be at Ithaca. It feels like coming home. And I can't say enough about Annette and how she welcomed me. I personally call Annette the mayor of Ithaca. And she introduced me to all the people that I needed to know. She introduced me to her family, her church, and just made me very welcome. And I really am very grateful for that.
Big shoes to fill.
They are very big shoes to fill. But she's left me with everything I need to know. And, you know, she's only a mile up the road, and it's not like I'm never going to see her again. And, she, you know, like I said, she's just left me with a lot of words of wisdom. So
getting into the school as you did and taught the kids how or where their food comes from. Some kids, it's surprising, they don't really ever think about where it comes from, do they?
It was very surprising, Phil. A lot of times when I was doing a nutrition lesson and we were talking about, you know, going grocery shopping or what have you, and we, you know, where do you get your carrots? The first answer was almost always Walmart. And so we did a lot of, or I did a lot of teaching around that. And going back to something Annette said, you know, we have a really great partnership with Oakwood. And I did a lesson where I made a sheet of paper with a thumbs up or a thumbs down next to five different varieties of apples. And we tasted each one. And the kids were able to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But they got to take that paper with them. And I remember Julie Thompson telling me that when she was working one day, she saw a couple of kids up there with those papers with their parents. and they were picking out the apples that they gave the thumbs up to. So, you know, it's really using your resources locally. You know, almost everybody goes to Oakwood in the fall. You know, it's something that everyone around here does. And reminding kids that, yes, you know, of course you can go to Walmart and buy an apple, but here's where they actually come from, and it's literally maybe a couple miles from your house.
Right up the road, basically. You also have school breakfast.
Yes.
And along with school lunch, that's been an addition over the last few years,
yeah,
too.
So I'm really excited about school breakfast. This is something that Annette and I started working on almost right away when I came 2 years ago. And what I mean by that is more scratch cooking in the breakfast program. That's hard to do because we're limited, as with everyone, we're limited with staff and time. But it was a priority of Annette's, and it's a big priority of mine. One reason being that the USDA is implementing new guidelines, and by 2027, we're going to have to reduce the amount of sugar, added sugars that are in school breakfast. And so we need to start those things now. And so when you think about reducing sugars in school breakfast, that means that you have to add more protein, right? Because that's where you're going to get your calories from instead of those added sugars. So that's something that I'm working on now to start implementing that. And it will look a little bit different. We're going to have to serve less cereal, which I know that, you know, the students aren't going to be very happy about, but introducing other things, you know, maybe an egg and cheese on a English muffin, or, you know, something that has some more protein there. So, but it's really important. And I know that Annette feels this way too, that kids start out their day, you know, with a great, good meal. And serving kids, in my opinion, serving kids all that sugar right away in the morning is detrimental to their learning. And obviously, you know, USDA with these guidelines feels the same way.
USDA guidelines for breakfast. What about lunch? Is anything yes. changing for that too, Julie?
Not as much. We will be looking at sugars there as well, but mainly sodium. They are reducing sodium as well. And that will have more of an impact on lunch than it will breakfast. Now, let me say, this is a weekly amount, so it's a target goal that we have to hit for the end of the week. Pardon me. So, you know, we can still serve things like cereal for breakfast, but then you would serve things so that you are going to hit that goal by the end of the week.
Okay.
So we can still serve favorites. They're not going away at all, but we just have to be more mindful of how much we're serving them.
If you're serving breakfast and lunch, what are the hours? What time does your staff have to be there in the morning to get food ready?
Sure. So I'm going to be coming in at 6 a.m., and then I have Marla Smith, who'll be joining me at 6:30. I work with her. She's another full-time employee. And then Diane and Patty come in at 10 and help over the lunch hour. So it's kind of like playing Tetris. You know, you're putting pieces everywhere, and you have to watch the clock and where you're going and what you're doing and who's coming. And but I enjoy that. I'm an organizer, so I have a little calendar and, you know, best laid plans. But if everything works out, I think that I know that we can do this. So
it is a major puzzle, isn't it, that
it
you have
is,
to put together?
Especially because we do serve three breakfasts every morning. And the one breakfast we take down to the multi-purpose room, the elementary breakfast is served down there from 7:30 to probably 8 o'clock by the time we get cleaned up. And then we turn around and have middle school breakfast, and then high school breakfast is later yet around 9. So you get done with that, then you got to shift gears. And also in that process, you're also preparing your entrees for your lunch. And then we also start serving lunch at 11 o'clock, and that's elementary lunch. And then it's two elementary lunches and middle school and high school lunches. So, yes, it keeps you hopping. But Julie's such a good organizer that she will have this down to sniff after a week of it, I'm sure.
I bet. It's almost like you have to have that clock in your head that, like, you know, this has got to be done by this time, and this time.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Unbelievable. The other thing we wanted to talk about was free and reduced lunch. And is that sign up going on right now, Julie?
Yes. Very important. So we have an open house on Wednesday of this week from 4 to 6 p.m. And I will be there along with some other folks. And we will have the free and reduced lunch forms there that people can fill out if they have not already done so. Free and reduced lunch is really important for so many reasons. First of all, kids need to eat, and they need to eat in order to be able to learn. And there are many, many households that we know are eligible for free and reduced lunch if they would just fill out the paperwork. So I want folks to know who are coming to the open house on Wednesday that there will be people there that can help them. The form looks intimidating. It's pages long with a lot of jargon, but we can help with that. And they're basically looking for two pieces of information. They want to know how many children are in your household, and they want to know what your annual income is. And then once they have those two pieces of information, they can decide if the household is eligible for free or reduced lunch. So a breakfast at Ithaca costs $1.70 and lunch costs $1.85 for elementary. For free and reduced, that's 30 cents for breakfast or 40 cents for lunch. So it would make a huge difference in a household's budget for people to see if they are eligible for free and reduced lunch. So I really encourage everyone to stop by or to go online or to come into the school office and let us help you and see if you're eligible.
And isn't it surprising for a lot of people, you may not even, you know that you're eligible.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I encourage, we'll help you. I have a little calculator that actually the state of Iowa puts out, but they make it free to everybody. And it makes it very, very easy to find out if you're eligible or not.
Indeed. So, and that, Greg Herbst, we can bring him into the conversation, but free reduced, that helps a little bit of the Ithaca school funding then in the long run, doesn't it?
Absolutely. One of the things that the government looks at when they're determining different allocations to school districts is the percentage of students in the school who qualify for free and reduced funding. So it's not just the lunches and the breakfasts. That ties into Title I funding. It tied into the ESSER funding during the COVID years. And back in those days, I don't think that our percentage of those who are eligible was an accurate reflection of the community. And because of that, because it was lower than what it is in reality, Ithaca School District lost out on literally around $1 million in state funding from the federal government. So it's more than just lunch and breakfast.
Sometimes it's a pride thing, you know, but it's all confidential, right?
It is. It is. It's once those applications are filled out, only the people who have to see those as far as state reporting are the ones who see those. And, of course, they're bound to follow confidentiality laws and just plain common sense. You know, so, but yeah, it's not something that we pass around.
So do you give a thumbs up to the lunch program? I presume you get to sample it from time to time.
Well, I don't know if Julie knows this, but I am an official sampler of new foods. And I'm also the beneficiary of the salad bar that they had talked about because I was one who tried something once, and I've tried it more than 15 times since. I didn't know that I was a fan of pickled beets.
Oh.
Until the salad bar rolled out. But having been through that bar, I would say that that would rival a lot of restaurants that I've been through. There's a lot of selection, and it varies from time to time because of the new things that they put on that. So it's been a big hit within the school, and I'll testify to that.
That's proof that, like your mama used to say, and how are you going to learn to like it if you don't try it?
I think my mom said, eat it. But yeah, mom's not listening. So,
but no, and the other thing about the salad bar is everyone, no matter what age and whether they're a teacher, staff, everyone gets the salad bar with that cost of the lunch.
Correct.
Okay, that's thrown in there on the side. So
yeah, the only thing I tried to advocate for were bigger trays, but Annette fought me on that through that.
Yes.
What can you say about these two ladies in the lunch program?
I'll tell you what has been fun for me to watch and is just the mutual respect and the strong camaraderie that they share with each other. They gave a joint presentation to the school board in the spring of the year. Once again, the respect and the joy that they have with and for each other was very evident at that meeting. And so the board got to see it that night, but the people who work within the schools get to see that every day.
What's the biggest hit lunch during the year? Is it the Thanksgiving meal? Or is it?
Well, they do like turkey supreme, it's hard to say. It depends. We made some new casseroles this last year, and they got hooked up into anything with pasta, ground beef, and a tomato sauce.
Ooh.
And cheese, of course, cheese.
Cheese, yes.
Cheese is a big hit. And we do have grated cheese on the salad bar. And when we have cottage cheese on the salad bar, we never can have enough.
Oh.
They love that.
That's good stuff. I'm wondering with the new guidelines if Nona Ockitz's peanut butter bars would pass that.
I don't know, Phil. It might be a little high in sugar.
Those are pretty good back in the day.
Yes, they were.
And I could trade them for a lot of things.
Yes.
Do kids still trade food?
Oh, yes.
Oh, do they?
Yes,
yeah?
Yes. And we also have what is called a share bin.
Okay.
So if a child goes through on their tray, they've got to have that entree with a fruit and vegetable or two fruits and two vegetables. So if they get through the line and they've got everything on there, and if there's something they don't want, they can put in the share bin. And then someone else can come and get anything out of the share bin. For one thing, that's saved on waste. Things weren't being thrown away as much. And you see more with the share bin on breakfast than what we do lunch.
Okay.
Breakfast is because a lot of the things are grab and go items, so it's easier to put them in the share bin for one thing.
Julie, you're looking forward to seeing and meeting a lot of people on the night of the open house at Ithaca on Wednesday then.
Yes, I will be there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of the students and meeting people that I haven't met yet. Yes.
Good deal. Annette, thanks for all your years of service, too.
No problem.
So are you promise you're going to come in and fill in sometime, are you?
I said I'm
yes, she
job.
Is.
And then someone else says, you may get called once in a while for crowd control. So we'll see.
Oh, okay. I can see that. You got the voice for it.
That's right. Yeah. This Richard's voice carries well.
Well, thanks again, Annette, for coming in. Julie, we look forward to working with you, too. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
Nope. Just happy almost school year.
There you go. A week from tomorrow, officially.
Yes.
Julie, I have a question, if I may.
Go ahead.
When you said that Annette had introduced you to her family, did that include Marty, or was that later on?
I did not meet Marty right away, but I heard many stories about Marty right from the beginning.
Okay. So she's been forewarned.
I have. Yes, I have.
Well, great to meet you, Julie.
Thank you.
You
nice
bet.
To meet you.
Here's to a good school year. Julie Severance joining us, and outgoing food service director Annette Lewis will have more from Greg Herbst, and Kathleen Chain will join our conversation when our morning show continues. Ithaca School's the topic on the morning show. Thanks to Annette and Julie for being on the first part, and also Greg Herbst and Kathleen Chain. Now, they have stuck behind with detention today or something. You've got more time on the morning show. Good morning, Kathleen. Are you looking forward to the school year?
I am really looking forward to this year, Phil. It's my 8th year as principal. It's my 24th year in the district. And, I think we have an excellent staff. We've got good plans in the elementary for how we're going to have more growth with reading and math. And, I'm just super excited about this year.
Yeah, reading, some things have changed, haven't they, since the last school year?
Yeah, so in November of 23, the state passed Act 20, which just is kind of coming to fruition now. In fact, we have a training on the first day of school for the assessments that we have to use. But so there's two different departments in the state reading that reviewed lots of curriculum that were aligned to standards and had high leverage practices built within. And thankfully, Ithaca, we adopted new curriculum last year, and thankfully that curriculum, Amplify CKLA, hit both lists. So I'm very excited that we, through our process, picked a good curriculum, which we've seen growth in. And along with that, you have to have intervention. And starting last year, again, we redid our schedule. So students that need additional reading support are not pulled out from reading class. It's a different time. And our staff has been working really hard. Andre Newkirk as our reading specialist. Jenna Whipperfirth is our 4K-5 special ed teacher and advisor. And then Summer Seahaver has transitioned from fifth grade into our reading interventionist. So the three of them are creating the best plan for those students to get their needs met.
I think reading, they're kind of going back to more traditional things in those programs, aren't they?
They are. In fact, part of Act 20 was that teachers have to be specifically trained in reading strategies. So all of our staff, 4K through third grade, for now, have been trained in Orton-Gillingham, which is a multi-sensory, which when I remember when I started at Ithaca, there was this wonderful woman, Lorinda Clary, who I had a student who was diagnosed with dyslexia, and she taught me how to teach so that that student could access. The student was an eighth grader, right? And I'm like, I don't know how to teach an eighth grader differently than I was trained. And she taught me Orton-Gillingham all those years ago. So it's coming back to best practice and the actual learning of the sounds and the letters and the formation and things like that.
Probably the most important thing you can learn, especially as a youngster, you know, to read, because you're going to need that your whole life.
100%. I used to, my motto when I was a middle school teacher, if you can read, you can do anything. Because if you can read, you can do math. If you can read, you can enjoy your hobbies better. You know, if you struggle to read, life can be a little more challenging, and you have to work through that and still be successful. But if you put the time in and learn to read, I really believe that that can make your life that much better.
The open house is coming up on Wednesday at Ithaca. Anything you'd like to share in terms of that?
Well, it sure is. So I joke with Greg that elementary, we went 100%. So I hope all families will come. We have some changes in staffing. So Shauna Kitzenbull has returned to the kindergarten classroom. Margaret Emerson is our first grade teacher. This is her third year in the district. And Kara Steinmetz and Denise Brewer are back for second grade. Trent Urban has transitioned to third grade. Denise Huffer will be gladly teaching our fourth grade. And then our fifth grade, I don't know where that came from. Our fifth grade is Olivia Price. But we begin with Brittany Penfield in the 4K. So, yeah, I hope they can come. We've added a new elementary Fayed with Anna Krajewski coming to us from Reedsburg area. So I'm excited to have her join our staff. And Peg Durkin's going to do our art, and Emily's going to do our library learning. So, yeah, I hope all the families will come and meet new staff, bring their forms in. We mailed out their registration to update and their transportation so that the very first day we can help those kids, you know, get to school and get where they need to be. So,
yeah. Indeed. And I think that if you haven't heard from the district, you know, in terms of busing, if you have any questions, probably a good time now to figure that out, too.
It would be. And if they were to call Sheila Kitzenbull in the school office, that would be best, because she's managing, you know, the updating in Skyward and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then after school, you've got it down to a science for pickup. I've seen you out there in action, but you've got that down pretty well now, don't you?
We do. We pride ourselves in knowing every single person that comes into that line. You know, I take it very personally that we put the student in the right car. We greet them like it's a big family, right? So when somebody shows up at your house, you go out and greet them and say hello. Who are you picking up today? Oh, I don't know you. Who are you picking up today? And then on the bus end, yep, we load them up. The buses come up, and we know exactly which bus they ride. And it's very important to us that not only are they delivered to us, it's our job to get them home safely every day.
Out there in all kinds of weather, aren't you?
I'm like the postman. I have a red coat for the winter. I have mud boots for when we get rain at the end of the day. And, you know, spare clothes in case I get drenched. But yeah, you know, it's important that it's really important to me that we know all those families. You know, Ithaca is a community school. I believe that strongly, and that our families make up that school. And so we're trying to provide the service that they desire And that means being friendly and knowing who they are.
Greg, what does enrollment look like for this year?
Well, enrollment right now, the projection is down a little bit from last year, which is following the trend not only for us, but I think most schools in Wisconsin. I think the last statistic that I read was 80% or more of the schools in Wisconsin are experiencing declining enrollment.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation. www.onenationamerica.org.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's forecast calls for a high around 80 with partly cloudy conditions, a low down to 59 tonight with scattered fog possible once again. And right now in Richland Center, it is 68 degrees.
Ellie here at Chet's Feed, Seed & Such. Keep your house dry from wet paws with our Dirty Dog Chamois and Dirty Dog Doormats. With all this rain to keep things green, now is the perfect time to lay down your grass seeds. We have many seed options to keep your lawn happy, as well as seeding mulch, straw, and fertilizers. Treat your furry friends with our large selection of toys and tasty snacks. Kick pesky mosquitoes to the curb with our Spartan mosquito traps this summer. We appreciate all of our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 647-8833.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Authority say the qualified allocation plans include changes to use the federal and state tax credits effectively and to reach as many communities as possible. That includes redefining categories that promote resource distribution, modifications to the competitive and non-competitive application process, and updating and revising scoring categories to respond to the current state of the housing market. According to the governor, WEDA awarded $69 million in federal and state tax credits during the 23-24 period to create more than 2,900 affordable housing units. Wisconsin seeks to bring PFAS standards in line with federal regulations. In April, the Environmental Protection Agency set individual limits for two of the most widely studied PFAS chemicals at 4 parts per trillion and 3 other PFAS at 10 parts per trillion. The Department of Natural Resources says under the changes, around 90 public water systems would need to treat their water or drill a new well to meet federal regulations. New federal regulations require water systems be tested for PFAS by 2027. The DNR says roughly 2,000 public water supplies in Wisconsin have already been tested, and about 95% of those have PFAS levels, which are below the federal limits. Details on harassment in the Amish community continue to come in.
According to the Sauk County Sheriff's Office, the harassment that took place earlier this month included blowing air horns and shining lights outside of Amish homes, ringing doorbells and knocking on windows during the night. 9 students in the school district of Reedsburg were involved. It's not clear if all of them were football players, but Reedsburg Area High School canceled its first 2 varsity football games of the season. A statement from the school district said it's disappointing. Pointed to learn of the allegations and that not all of the players on the team were involved. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Ithaca's school open house and back-to-school night will take place tonight between 4 and 6. Here is Michael Hernan with more on the story.
Ithaca's open house / back-to-school night is where kids go to get registered for classes and receive other vital things for the school year. Here's Ithaca School Superintendent Greg Herbst on why all Ithaca students should attend.
We'd like to do as much of the paperwork beforehand as possible. It certainly adds to the school year starting more smoothly than it might otherwise. So we certainly do invite everybody to come to open house on Wednesday from 4 to 6.
Herbst invites any kid looking to open enroll to look into Ithaca schools.
If you look at our enrollment now and compare it to 2014, you ask yourself, what's going on? Because it's dropped so much. But if you go back 10 more years, back to around the 2004 area, our enrollment now is about what it was then. You know, so by no means are we full, and we certainly encourage people who are looking for the best education for their children to give us a look.
For WRCO News, I'm Michael Hernan.
With the first day of school in the Richland School District less than a week away, many children will be riding the bus to arrive at and get home from their school. If your child has not signed up to ride, then you will need to contact Cobison Bus at 647-4446. The first day of classes will be coming up Tuesday, September 2nd. Also, a reminder to drivers to obey the law when approaching or following a school bus to keep those aboard safe. There are new vaccine guidelines for the upcoming school year. With more, here is Brittany Merlot.
The new guidelines for school vaccinations go into effect for this school year. These updates aim to provide better protection against serious diseases and align with national recommendations. Dr. Natalie Weeks is a family medicine physician at Aspirus.
Back in the day when we didn't have vaccines for these illnesses, unfortunately, children did pass away from these diseases, and we are very lucky that we have these vaccines to prevent these potentially deadly diseases now. It's the number one thing that you could do to protect your child and the community and prevent these diseases from recurring.
If you're concerned or have any questions, Dr. Weeks encourages you to talk with your child's primary care provider.
I also really like the free app called Vaccines on the Go, which is put out by Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is a great resource, too, for vaccine safety information.
Elsewhere in the news today, Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports a motor vehicle collided with a horse-drawn vehicle on Monday afternoon in rural Chaseburg. Curtis John Woodhouse, 30, of rural Genoa, was operating a passenger vehicle traveling southeast on County Road Double K, northwest of Waldberger Lane, near the border of the towns of Harmony and Homburg. Woodhouse looked away for a moment and collided with the rear of a horse-drawn vehicle driven by Reuben A. Miller, 34, of rural Chaseburg. Reuben Miller and his passenger Andrew M. Miller, 28, also of Chaseburg, were both injured and transported to Gunderson Health System in La Crosse by private vehicle. They were both released Monday evening. The horse that was involved was treated by a veterinarian and expected to make a full recovery. Responding to the scene with the sheriff's office were the Genoa Harmony Fire Department and first responders and Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. The crash remains under investigation by the sheriff's office. And an effort to restart a twice-failed recall of State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has stalled out. The state Supreme Court on Tuesday rejected a request from the Recall Voss effort to hear arguments directly, saying they must go through the normal process of lawsuits in lower courts. That effort, led by supporters of former President Donald Trump, failed two separate times to correctly gather enough signatures to trigger a recall. A Dane County judge and the State Elections Commission both tossed out the second attempt after organizers gathered petitions from outside Voss's district.
Transform your outdoor spaces with Bailey Paint and Decorating's Benjamin Moore Wood Lux Stains. With over 3,500 colors, you can achieve the perfect look for any project. From translucent to ultra-flat solid stains, Wood Lux by Benjamin Moore enhances the natural beauty of your wood. Providing one coat coverage with minimal lap marks, Benjamin Moore Wood Lux protects against UV rays, frost, and mildew, ensuring your wood stays beautiful year-round. Visit Bailey Paint and Decorating today in Richland Center and discover the Wood Lux difference. Bailey Paint and Decorating, your local experts in quality and color.
Today's forecast calls for high temperatures to reach around 80 degrees. East winds will be around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy, scattered fog possible tonight. A low of 59. Thursday, partly sunny and warm. Isolated thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. And a high of 83. By Friday, 82. Clouds will give way to sunshine gradually and breezy as well. Yesterday's high temperature was 92 during a sweaty day in southwest Wisconsin. This morning, earlier, we were at 69. We dropped to 65, and right now we're back up a degree to 66 degrees with a thick fog settled in.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Sports Time is next, sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at the local and area scene, details on a Brewer loss, and the Packers reduce their roster yesterday.
On September 15th, the Richland Hospital and Clinics will host an event celebrating 100 years of serving our community. Join us for a free 5K, walk or run, food, live music, and cake at the Killian Meyer Building in Richland Center. Visit the events page on our website for full details. Thank you for entrusting the Richland Hospital and Clinics with your care in these last 100 years. We hope to see you there.
I'm Phil Nee with WRCO Sports. River Valley is preparing for the second week of the season. They had a game canceled last week with Reedsburg, and Coach Dan Makovic talked about the chance for the team to look ahead now.
It definitely was an unfortunate thing, and sometimes stuff happens that you can't control, and everyone involved, you know, has heard about it, and it's been a tough situation for our kids knowing we lost the game, but we're moving forward one week at a time is the mentality that we're really trying to implement, as cliche as it is, but this week is over, and now we're on to Wisconsin Dells.
River Valley playing at the Dells coming up on Friday night during weekend number two of high school football. Yesterday at Quail Run, the Tuesday Men's Golf League hit week 18 of the 20-week regular season. Pat Keegan had the top score with a 37, including a birdie on hole two. Josh Coy with a runner-up score of 38. He birdied hole number three. The Brewers gave up leads of 2-1 and 4-3 before losing to the San Francisco Giants last night. Giants outfielder Mike Yastrzemski's two-run shot in the seventh inning gave the visitors a 5-4 victory at American Family Field. Will Pyamps gave up the blast and took the loss. Jackson Chirio and Willie Adames went deep for Milwaukee. Chirio's 449-foot home run was the longest of the season for the Crew. Freddy Peralta starts tonight's game two of the series. In the National League elsewhere, it was the Cubs 9-5 over Pittsburgh. San Diego beat St. Louis 7-5. Miami 9-8 over Colorado. The Mets 8, Arizona 3. In the American League, Texas at the White Sox was suspended. Detroit 6, the Angels 2. Kansas City 6-1 over Cleveland. Boston beat Toronto 6-3. Tampa Bay 3, Seattle 2. Philadelphia 5-0 over Houston. Washington 4 and the Yankees 2. Oakland 5-4 over Cincinnati. Atlanta 8-6 winners against Minnesota. And Baltimore 3-2 over the Dodgers. As mentioned, the Brewers with the loss yesterday. Tobias Myers struggled at times. Here's manager Pat Murphy.
He didn't have his good life on the ball. He didn't have his great stuff tonight. But, you know, to give us five innings and, yeah, the two home runs hurt us. The leadoff walk hurt us. The balk hurt us. The 0-2 hit hurt us. You know, like all that stuff comes into play. But he's a young pitcher, and he'll get there.
Freddy Peralta will go to the mound tonight for the Brewers against Kyle Harrison. That, like last night, a 7:10 first pitch time on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. The Packers have trimmed their roster to 53 players while preparing for the 2024 NFL season. Kicker Anders Carlson was cut in favor of Greg Joseph. The front office gave up on Carlson and wide receiver Samari Torre at the deadline. Running back A.J. Dillon and tight end Tyler Davis were put on season-ending injured reserve. The coaches decided to keep Malik Willis as the second-string quarterback while releasing Sean Clifford and rookie Michael Pratt as well.
Wisconsin football has sold out its reserved and student season tickets for the third straight season. The announcement was made on Tuesday. A limited number of premium season tickets remain in the South End Zone and Varsity Club. School officials say single game tickets are still available for home games. A challenging home schedule with three preseason top 10 teams is the toughest in over 50 years. Those single game tickets are available for games at Camp Randall Stadium against Western Michigan, South Dakota, along with Purdue, Penn State, Oregon, and Minnesota. The Badgers will kick off their season coming up this weekend. And Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and his brother, former Eagles center Jason Kelce, are taking their popular New Heights podcast to Amazon's Wondery under a three-year deal that gives the company exclusive advertising sales and distribution rights. The deal was announced on Tuesday and will begin with this week's episode. NFL owners have approached a rule allowing private equity investors in their teams. They voted to let certain league-sanctioned firms buy up a stake of up to 10% in the 32 franchises that are steadily soaring in value. I'm Phil Nee with an update on sports.
LS Tractors are a tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest-growing tractor line in Wisconsin
in
is LS Tractor.
In terms of sometimes you don't know until that first day, do you?
Right, because there are some people who don't think to register until that first day. We'll even have kids walk in, skip the open house, walk in on the very first day of school and want to register at that time, which makes it a little bit more difficult, especially at the high school level, because you have to put together a schedule form. Our counselor, Meredith Bevin, is usually a little extra busy on those first few days.
Important on Wednesday night, though, for, you know, class schedules and all that stuff for people to show up. Right?
Absolutely. We'd like to do as much of the paperwork beforehand as possible. It certainly adds to the school year starting more smoothly than it might otherwise. So we certainly do invite everybody to come to open house on Wednesday from 4 to 6.
You're hoping that this hot weather kind of goes by the wayside before next week.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I think the kids would second that motion, but I also think the kids are pretty excited to come back. You know, like most kids, probably the happiest day of the school year is the last day of school, but a close second is the first day of school when they get to return and see their friends and renew those friendships that they had that, you know, maybe they might not have seen each other over the summer, especially the younger ones who can't drive, you know, so they look forward to seeing their friends, and we'll get to experience that the day after Labor Day.
Kathleen touched on some of the new staff, but some other staff members that are new to the district this year, Greg?
Yeah, we do. We have a board meeting where we're going to hopefully the board will approve the hiring of a new Spanish teacher. We also have a new middle school special education teacher. Her name is Tina Haynes. And then we have, she had mentioned, Kathleen had mentioned Anna Kryeski, who's going to be a new physical education down at the elementary school. So we feel very fortunate. And I say that this way, you know, we're a small school. And as Kathleen, when she started to name the classroom teachers, I'm sure people picked up on the fact that other than second grade, we're a one section elementary. And, you know, sometimes people might think that smaller isn't as productive or doesn't give the same quality as maybe a larger school can. I would certainly debate that. I've been in six school districts in my career in four different states. I think I'm trying to cover the entire Midwest the way it feels. And so I've been in small schools and I've been in large schools. And of course, they both have pros and cons. But you learn something about yourself as you go through this. And one of the things that I've learned about myself is I'm a small school guy. I love the fact that we can walk down the hallway and know every kid by name. And like Kathleen had mentioned, you know, this is a community school and we try very hard to uphold what we think the values of a community school can provide.
So important, though, because you know those students, you see them day in and day out, and you know if something maybe isn't going right, you can kind of tell, and you kind of know the background. I'm sure that helps you, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the things. When I was a principal, I did that for 13 years, and then I became a superintendent, and I did that for 8 years. And somebody asked me what I missed when I became a superintendent, and sounds kind of silly to some, but what I really missed was the 30-second conversations in the hallway, because I would try to monitor the school I was in. We didn't have lockers throughout the hallways. We had a locker bay, and I sometimes questioned the intelligence of putting 300 teenagers in a locker bay 8 times a day. But what I miss are you would see a student walking by, and you could tell that something was amiss, something was just off. So you would have a 20 to 30 second conversation with them. And I really miss those because, you know, just sometimes it's just enough knowing that somebody noticed and noticed that somebody took the time and just to express that they're thinking about you. So we can do a lot of good with 20 seconds.
They don't, so to speak, fall through the cracks as often in the smaller schools, do they?
I think that's true. And I taught at Cedar Falls High School. And in Iowa, that's one of the larger schools, you know, by Iowa standards. You know, it's not a Chicago. It's not something like that. But by Iowa standards, the high school has about 1,300 students, and that's grades 10 through 12, because the ninth grades are housed in the junior high schools. And I can remember, I'll never forget this, because it struck such a chord with me. We had a variety show, and I had a student in class. I still remember her name. It was Amanda Hogenkamp. And I had her the entire year in Algebra 2, and she performed at the variety show. She played the piano and sang a song, and she was absolutely outstanding. And so much so that when I saw her the next day in class, I shared that with her, and I asked her if she would sing and play that for me again. And so after school, when she had time, we went up to the music room and she did it again, because it was just, it was beautiful. But I think the part of that that has stuck with me is I asked myself, how could I have this young adult and this young woman in class, and she's that talented, and how did I not know about that? You know, and there were other kids, but she's the one that stuck in my head, that I've got these students in class. Now, granted, a little bit different as well. My class size average at that time was around 30, a little more than 30. You know, so I'm teaching 150 kids a day, and so that's one of the benefits of having a smaller class size. You get to know the kids a little bit more. But it always struck me that I had this talented young lady in my class who could sing amazingly and play the piano beautifully, and I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that typically happens in a small school. If a student, whatever their talents may be, whether it's athletics or music or acting, we had some of our kids perform in the Music Man recently, along with the teacher, Shay Schmidt, and a former student, Matthew Rowe. And to watch them in these different areas where they excel is very gratifying.
Yeah, tremendous. That Music Man was out of sight. Yes, sir, there. Absolutely. You've got a teacher on staff that probably should sing every day, you know, before the announcements, right?
Yeah, you know, she gives the announcements quite often, and she's seamless at it. But I remember the first time I really saw her sing was at a variety show that Liz Niemeyer had put on. And Shay Schmidt and Liz sang a duet. And if you weren't there, you missed it, because it was absolutely, it was just phenomenal.
The other rumor on the street has been through the years that Ithaca's full, you know, in terms of if you're looking at school choice, but that's not true, is it?
No, that may have been true at one time, because when they built the elementary back in 2014, the enrollment was at its highest then. You know, and if you look at our enrollment now and compare it to 2014, yet, you know, you ask yourself, what's going on? Because it's dropped so much. But if you go back 10 more years, back to around the 2004 area, our enrollment now is about what it was then. You know, so by no means are we full, and we certainly encourage people who are looking for the best education for their children to give us a look.
It's been pretty interesting through the years, Kathleen. Do you recall how many were in your graduating class in high school?
32.
32, mm-hmm. And ours was 28. And I think that's been kind of about the average number through the years, hasn't
it? I think so. You know, and 2022 was probably the biggest. There were 43 in that graduating class, but then 2019 was 26. So, yeah, it's all based on people moving and how many children they have and how they choose to educate their child.
School year has pretty much started with extracurriculars. You got a football game already?
So. Yep. On Friday night, they played and won at Riverdale, which was exciting to hear. Yeah.
Sure. And then everything else kind of getting going now, too. So I guess for all intents and purposes, the high school is back in business, right, Greg?
Well, I think so. Nothing. Strikes the start of a school year more than some helmets cracking on a Friday night. And the young men played very well. They looked to be in mid-season form. So kudos to them and to Coach Kelly and Coach Klang and Coach Maxwell You know, I look at this year, you know, you had asked Kathleen if she was excited, and I answered that question in my own mind. By virtue of entering this profession, this will now be the 54th start of the school year that I've been able to experience going back to kindergarten. You know, most people, of course, end that after high school or college, but people who enter education, we get to replay it every year.
54 years there.
Yeah, this is starting year number 54 for me. So I hadn't thought about that till I was just sitting here. That number's starting to get kind of high.
That's awesome. We'll have a final word coming up from Kathleen and Greg here in a moment as we talk about Ithaca Schools today on The Morning Show. Members of the admin team from Ithaca Schools in the studio with us, Greg Herbst and Kathleen Shane. Some important dates coming up, beginning, Greg, with your open house tomorrow night. Or no, Wednesday night.
Wednesday night from 4 to 6. Hope to see everybody there. And it's always fun to get reacquainted with everybody. So certainly hope to see everybody there.
But the staff comes back tomorrow, right?
Yes, they do. They come back tomorrow, 7:30 sharp, and the school board will prepare breakfast for them.
Really?
Which is really kind of cool. And that's not something that comes out of the school budget. That comes out of their pockets. It's just something that they want to welcome the staff back after the summer recess. And then on Thursday, when they come back, we have breakfast prepared by the PTSO. So the generosity of these people is very clear when it comes to welcoming the staff back.
Staff in service, do you do some meetings and things like that, and some outside people come in and talk?
We do, and the first day is entirely on safety, and Kathleen had kind of alluded to that before with regard to being able to send the kids home in the same condition in which we got them. You know, my wife and I have three girls. And when we sent them off to school, if you were to ask me what one thing do you want more than anything else, it would be just send them back to me in the way that I sent them to you. You know, hopefully a little bit better educated. But number one, just send them back to me healthy and happy. And then the education is as important as it is, takes a backseat to that. So tomorrow when we come, we have lots of trainings for safety. We have CPR and first aid training, stop the bleed training, EpiPen and Narcan training. And then we also will have time where we go over our safety protocols within the school. And that will take the entire first day because it's that important.
Yeah, very, very important, obviously, safety. And I know you've already got quite a few things in place for that, don't you?
We do. We have a very active safety committee. There are several members on it. The two people who really drive that committee are Paula Boland and Julie Thompson. And they've attended different workshops and trainings so that they can bring that knowledge back and share it with the school. And we think that we've been very progressive as far as our training goes to keep the kids and the faculty and the staff and any guests that we have in the building safe while they're there.
The Ithaca Fair is coming up down the road, but it's a little later this year, isn't it, Kathleen?
It is. It's October 12th this year, and I can't recall off the top of my head what school we play in football, but it is our 102nd school fair.
Wow.
Which is exciting. And I encourage people to sign up for the Bulldog Challenge. It's a run walk led by Courtney Urban, so you can contact her. And then they're bringing back the mascot race.
All right.
At 1 o'clock on the field, and so I had sent some messages out to some staff at Riverdale that I know in River Valley, Richland Center, and Weston. You know, bring your mascots down and let's see how you do on the field. So, and then we have a traditional fair, right? We have exhibits in the gym. The kids show animals. There's a sale. And then, you know, our highlight is the parade right on Highway 58. That's at 10:30. And I'm sure Annette the Clown will probably be there. And
Bubbles.
Bubbles, that's right. Yeah. But yes, it's going to be another fun time.
I would guess as a staff member, you're really thankful that it isn't September 12th, because you have had some years where it's right away, like 2 or 3 weeks into school. This gives you more time to prepare.
Yeah, and it's hard to really get the momentum of the kids like towards the theme. So our theme this year is a personal favorite of mine just because of my love for music. It's Welcome to the Jungle. Oh. And so, yeah, when we've had them early, it's just hard to get things organized, get kids, you know, they're just getting into school, and then boom, we have this. So I think it's, you know, a little bit later maybe than it's been, but I think as long as the weather holds, the trees will be in good color, and yeah, I think it'll be great.
Picture Day is coming up too, isn't
it? Picture Day is, yeah. It's September 10th this year. We're going to do it during the school day. We kind of did some tallying and open house pictures. We just, a lot of kids had to retake or just, you know, if they didn't come or didn't stay for picture time, then this will just run it through the school day and hopefully everybody's there and we won't have to come back later. So, yeah, September 10th.
Your 54th picture then, Greg.
And if you line them all up from start to finish, I don't think it's changed a whole lot.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, Kathleen had mentioned, it made me smile, that the theme is Welcome to the Jungle. So having heard that, I think on my drive back to Ithaca, I think that Axl Rose and Slash and the boys from Guns N' Roses might join me in the pickup.
All right. Well, don't get a ticket for speeding or anything. And you also want to talk again a little bit about free and reduced lunch, because I know we touched on that earlier, yeah. It's pretty important.
It is. It's something that we cannot overstate. We simply need people to fill out the forms, because we did have a push last year to do a better job of getting people to complete those forms, and our percentage went up double digits. It went up about 10, 11%, something like that. And that 10% might just make the difference between you getting, you know, X dollars in federal funding versus 2X dollars in federal funding.
Greg Herbst joining us, superintendent at Ithaca Schools, and Kathleen Shane, elementary principal and curriculum director. And earlier we talked to outgoing food service person Annette Lewis, food service director Julie Severance on the morning show.